Good morning. So our reading today is from John 15, verses 1 to 17. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this: to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Well, thank you, Ali, for doing a double turn on that. That was the reading that was set for us, but I felt it was far too short for a Bible reading in church, so we had the fuller reading earlier on. So I'm John Boxwell. I'm a retired Baptist minister standing in this morning, and I'm supposed to be finishing this course about creating a rule of life. And seeing as I've missed most of the course because I've been preaching elsewhere, I had a bit of a problem. Jeff has given me some information which made the problem even worse, because I realised how big the course was. And so now here you have me this morning, talking about creating a rule of life. And I wonder if at the age of 85 I know anything about that. But there we are, see. So where do we start? How do you begin to create a rule of life? Well, it seemed to me that the best thing to do was to start right at the beginning. How did God expect his creation to be? Let's consider Adam and Eve. God came into the garden at the cool of the day to talk with them, and it was absolute bliss. Adam and Eve, as with all people, were made in the likeness of God. If you thought about it, you were made in the likeness of God. Just imagine all the love and compassion that overflowed into their lives, into their world, and into their environment. Sadly, on the one recorded occasion of God coming to see them, he couldn't find them. He couldn't find them because they had messed up. They had done the one thing God had told them specially not to do. They had eaten of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and their way of life had been changed from that moment. Any future sense of bliss was fleeting, and life became tough. And since that day, every one of us has had to live with boundaries. Do this and you will live. Do this and there will be consequences. And so wise people do not simply take life as it comes. They formulate a system to try and ensure that they achieve the best possible outcome. And if you've been following the course that we've been doing over the last few weeks, we've been given a process to give it a useful title. And I repeat this morning, creating a rule of life. And the course we've been doing asks us to focus on 9 things. Sabbath, prayer, fasting, solitude, generosity, scripture, community, service, and witness. I bet you can't remember all those. and each one of them offers a number of alternative things to consider as we consider them. Take, for example, Sabbath. Originally, it was the day when God rested from his work of creation. And beyond that, the concept of Sabbath means that we work a 6-day week and take time out on the Sabbath, which these days in Western countries we call Sunday. Some parts of the world they still call Saturday the Sabbath. But rather than take time out, it's a time when we come together to worship. And our human experience, together with the ethos of the course we're following, tells us that if we miss out on worship, then we lose out big time. I personally have never had a problem with church attendance, because as a child we came as a family. We came to church twice on a Sunday, and then there was Sunday school in the afternoon as well. There's 3 times really. And over my whole life I have never, or perhaps to be truthful, only rarely missed a service. And even at the age of 14 I spent a whole month in hospital. And even there on the Sunday I found my way through the maze of hospital corridors to the hospital chapel. And by goodness, the sermon was good. It was the first sermon that I could remember, and I can even remember it to this day, what the vicar said on that Sunday morning. Now, of course, today is a special Sunday, isn't it? It's Mothering Sunday. Now, the historical idea behind Mothering Sunday is that you make a return visit to the church which is your mother church, i.e. the church which nurtured you where you became a Christian. Now, I got a problem with that, because the chapel I went to with my parents no longer exists. The housing estate on the spot where it used to stand. Although I am still in contact with 2 people who used to go there. One of them, if I can find it, sent me an Easter card. He was my pastor 70 years ago, 60 years ago, something like that. He's now in Western Australia. He sent us an Easter card. And there's another person who lives down near Exeter, who I also in contact with. So Stuart Good in Western Australia, he's now an Anglican serving on the staff of St George's Cathedral in Perth. So yes, and then there's David, who lives down in Exeter. And in our chapel, we were served mostly by lay preachers. And some were good, and some were awful. We kind of know the experience, don't we? And I remember one Sunday, we would, you know, each Sunday we would gather after the evening service in somebody's home. And one Sunday after church, we were round at David's house for a coffee and a chat. And I said to David, "What on earth did you make of that dreadful service tonight?" David, bless him, didn't rise to the bait. His curt reply was, "John, I went to church tonight to worship God. And that's what I did." By golly, it's a rebuke I have never forgotten. So remember that. You come to church to worship God, the mother church. But of course, the place where I really became a Christian wasn't there, because the Lord found me at a crusader camp in a field near Swanage in Dorset. What have we got on the screen? We got, yes, down in Dorset. And if we home on that, we find a place where it actually came alive in Christ. This next slide, if it's there, you see a field in Studland where the Lord came into my life for the very first time, where everything changed for me. And golly, that was nearly 70 years ago. So Sunday is a special day, a day set apart for the worship of God. And of course, there's all sorts of other ways we can set time apart for the worship of God. And you will have been through them on the course at some point or other. You just need to think about it for a bit. Church away weekend. That's a time of Sabbath in a way. And some of us are going on that. Now we focus on the second discipline, and that is prayer. And prayer is more than the repetition of written prayers. And prayer is more than a shopping list of requests. Prayer is when we talk with God and when he talks with us. It takes a little time, but it can also take no time as we share our experiences and our hopes and our fears with God. And often answers come in unexpected ways. And as we look back, we say to ourselves, "Thank you, Lord, you answered that one." And prayer can be disciplined as when you go into your room and you shut the door and secretly open your heart to God. Or it can be a joyous expression in the middle of a worship song. Then we find that there are a lot of people who benefit from the next discipline on the list, which is fasting. Giving something up, which we talk about in Lent a lot, don't we? In order to focus upon all that God has got for us, all he has done. I think Jeff last week was talking about giving up using the mobile phone for a time, or social media or something. That's one possible way of fasting. But we usually talk about going without food. And I have to admit that I don't do that. Jenny will tell you that if I go without food for too long, I get crotchety. And so for me, fasting doesn't work. But for many people, it does work. And if it does, they are richly blessed in fasting. However, solitude is a different matter. Time alone with God. Time in the company of birdsong and rustling tree leaves. God can really get through to us when we give him space. And remember this, Jesus often went to a lonely place to pray. And it was an example that we could follow. Well, so far today we have looked briefly at Sabbath and prayer and fasting and solitude, all of which are footsteps on the pathway to creating a rule of life. But we haven't got there yet because there are five more disciplines to consider. One is generosity. With this one, as well as looking towards God, we also turn our focus on those who are travelling with us. Most are fine, but some are struggling, and it's our generosity and our helping hand that brings them the courage to stay the course. And amazingly, when we're generous, we find that we are blessed in the giving. Of course, as Bible-believing Christians, we value Scripture. We turn to the Bible regularly, hopefully every day. And we may well have a planned way of reading Scripture, such as Scripture Union or Bible Reading Fellowship or Every Day with Jesus, and there are others too, which help us to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus through the reading of Scripture. And of course, to emphasize the point, we always read from Scripture in church on a Sunday. So here is one rule of life which comes from Scripture itself. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, we mentioned solitude just now, but the opposite can also be beneficial to us if we become part of a community. And I'm sort of joining the list of other people who talked about joining some of our small groups. Sharing together can bring real blessing and helps to grow your faith and support you both when you think things are going well and also when life gets tough. And being involved with others helps to point you towards areas of usefulness, which our course calls service. Service amounts to anything we can do to help others along, either in the church or in the community, with individuals or with groups. And our acts of service help to make the world a better place. One incident comes to my mind, going back again to the days when I was in my mother church, so to speak. We had a Sunday school outing, and we were playing football on the riverbank down at Wallingford. And guess what happened? The football went into the river. Well, one lad, 12-year-old, he went into the river after the ball to get it out. In those days, of course, we didn't have risk assessments and things like that. And my friend David was standing on the bank together with a lot of other people, and he noticed something. This 12-year-old was getting into difficulty. And again, he came out with a very forthright remark, which, again, I've never forgotten. John, do something! So I went into the river, swam out towards him. The guy regained his confidence and swam out beside me. I mean, people aren't advised to do that these days, are they? I don't know what you'd do in his place, but there we are. And, of course, when I got out, well, my watch did keep going for another couple of days. And when I got my purse out of my pocket, the paper brown, pound notes in there were brown and soggy with the stain of the leather. And I was sopping wet, and changing rooms on the banks of the river at Wallingford are not very, well, had I got anything to change into? I can't remember how I dried out after that. A lot of people sort of were watching what was going on. But anyway, we were all safe. And an act of service, which I kind of remember, and a good many years ago. And of course, things like that happen all the time, don't they? Ways in which we can help other people. But we've still got something else to look at. One last rule of life, and that is witness. Service itself can be a powerful witness. But what we're looking about here is the verbal witness. Sharing a testimony, telling others about Jesus. It's to do with giving a verbal account of why we do what we do as we give the glory to God. How has God helped you during this week? How is it that faith means so much to you? I was once involved in a different course which emphasized the importance of making friends with people who are outside the church. But if the witness is to be real and effective at bringing people to Jesus, the course made the point that you have to develop the friendship to the point where you can give a verbal witness. Tell people, tell them, tell them. When you tell, people begin to ask questions. When they ask questions, you can tell them even more. Building a rule of life. Yeah, can you remember those things? Sabbath, prayer, fasting, solitude, generosity, scripture, community, service, and witness. I think it's going to be difficult to take all that in. Information overload, I suppose, isn't it, really? Now, I want to summarise what we've been talking about using just three words. Three words which will get you going in the formation of a rule of life. First word is connection. Second one is concentration, which I would put in brackets as listening. And the third one is compassion. And so here it is, connection with God through the discipline of keeping Sunday special. Connection with God through prayer and through Bible study. Connection with God through silence and stillness, by making space and time to be with God. Then concentration, by listening to God during our times of quiet, by listening to what people are telling us. Listening helps us to gauge our reaction. Do they need help? What sort of help do they need? Do they need help from me, or is there someone else who could better meet their need? And thirdly, compassion. Remember what Paul said, without love, I am no more than a clanging gong or a tinkling cymbal. Now, I thought I was quite clever to summarise all this with three words, connection, concentration and compassion. But in our Bible reading today, Jesus does it in one sentence. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I was cutting back some branches this week off the trees. And I expect you've noticed the buds are all breaking. The blackthorn has been in flower for about a week, and the other leaves are beginning to break. And these I've cut off my tree. There's all buds on here, and some of them are a little bit green, but they're not going to grow, are they? Because they've been cut off from the tree. They might grow a bit, but ultimately they're going to wither, because they're no longer drawing strength from the tree. And Jesus tells us in this one short phrase that we must remain in close contact with him. Where can I put that? We must remain in close contact with him. And my trees, which will grow leaves and flowers and seeds, the sticks which have been cut away, they're not going to produce anything. So in order to create a rule of life, Jesus' advice is stay close to me. Then you will grow, and as you grow, so you will become fruitful. Now, I don't know if you can see that, but look at those lovely grapes. By creating a rule of life which keeps us close to Jesus, we begin to find that we're fruitful in all sorts of ways. So all these other disciplines are important. Sabbath, prayer, fasting, solitude, generosity, scripture, community, service and witness. A lot to think about, a lot to remember. But the joy of it is that if we stay close to Jesus, we will find these things come naturally. And perhaps the greatest joy of all is when we find that we are being fruitful, that we make a difference for people and for our community. So may we all be filled with the Spirit of Jesus, who will guide us into actions that we take and into testimony that we can share. And we pray that he may receive all the honour and glory as we give our hearts to him.